Click kaya959.co.za. This is how we
do it. To download the Point of View podcast.
So on the 10th of June, Parliament convened a landmark P20 Youth Parliament. It was a sitting on Friday and it was in the Good Hope Chamber. It was a high-level session and it was obviously held 3 days before Youth Day. It really brought together young people from different political parties and they were there to exchange ideas and discuss some really fundamental issues. On the line with us is Action SA's young MP and member of P20. Young Parliamentarian Steering Committee. That is Malebo Kube. Thank you so much, Malebo. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Pamela. Good evening to you and your listeners.
Just briefly explain to all of us what P20 Youth Parliament is.
So basically, P20 Youth Parliament is a parliament. It's a parliament where young people get together, where, you know, we are empowered to really debate on issues of global policy, just so that we can make and influence global policy at that level and really reflect on our priorities as young people to say what we want as young people, whatever's going to come out of the G20 as young people, how do we see ourselves featuring in there and how are we then advancing our agenda on that level?
And what was, you know, at the top of the agenda for this year's gathering?
You know, this is no surprise, I'm sure, to a lot of young people. It was unemployment. Mm-hmm. It was the beast that is unemployment, the face that is unemployment, which is mostly youth and which is mostly women. So that's what we were reflecting on, really, that the youth are burning. And there seems to, you know, really be no solution to what we are experiencing in terms of the high levels of unemployment.
You know, Malebo, I'm struck by the consensus everyone seems to have. You're picking up on that. But everywhere you go, there seems to be consensus on the fact that unemployment is at crisis levels in this country. Do you get the sense that there is going to be some actionable, you know, program that's going to actually turn the tide? And I ask you this because you obviously are quite close to, you know, people who represent us in Parliament. And maybe you are hearing them differently. I suppose if I open the lines now, people are going to say, we've heard this before. We heard the Deputy President today say, well, this is a crisis. The unemployment. He said something about it being a values crisis and, a crisis that needs a lot of attention, moral crisis that needs attention. In the role that you have as this the steering committee in Parliament, as young people, speaking on behalf of young people, is there a sense that, number one, you have an ear, and number two, that the existing programs will eventually turn the tide?
So for the first answer,
yeah.
There is a sense now that we are getting an ear,
yeah.
That we are finally having an ear. And I think one of the weaknesses of government is that they've been speaking about our issues without us.
Mm.
They have relegated us really and our voices to the back burner while they create all of these, you know, the boards that are supposed to solve our issues.
Yeah.
And fundamentally, young people just want practical things. And this is why we are also calling on the state to say, the state needs to stop being a referee in this issue, you know, just to say we are there, young people over there or there. It needs to actively start taking a role in terms of allocating, budgets to our issues, in terms of, you know, saying in our policy objectives and in the planning phases that these are our objectives, but this is where we are going to feature young people. I gather that in a lot of our policies and the policy implementations of various departments, young people are somewhere, somehow featured in. But we are never really given a dedicated program.
Mm.
We are never really given a dedicated budget. And that's an issue for me. Because for me, it says, you know, where your money is, it tells me where your heart is.
Mm.
And until we start seeing government really put in those coins that are dedicated to young people and youth initiatives and programs, we're never going to see the needle shift in terms of unemployment. And I think that is why it's important to sort of start having an assembly for young people. people to start advocating actively for you for issues that are specific to us as young people.
And so maybe in real terms, in relation to what your committee is doing right now, how does it fit into, you know, the two houses?
So in the committee that we are doing right now in the steering committee, because we are young people and we are now parliamentarians, not just specifically for young people, but we are serving in different portfolios. So for example, I serve in the transport portfolio. Now we need to start right. So we in our portfolio there isn't this. So with youth, the challenge is that our issues are cross-cutting, right?
Yes.
So our issues fit into every single department, whether you are health, whether you are transport, whether you are water and sanitation. All those issues have a way in which they affect young people and they contribute to these crisis levels of unemployment. I mean, just the other day, I went on a metro rail just to speak to young people to get a sense of how they have been living since the 7th administration came in, and the cost of living, the cost of transport. And you can see that young people are really feeling the brunt of the economy. So when we go back to our portfolio committees, we need to start then really tailoring services within the transport system and the metro rails that are specific to young people that will say, how do we help to alleviate transport costs that are overburdening our young people who are looking for employment? And even if they are employed, is it gainful employment? You know, and so you can't have them spending 50% of their salaries on transport alone. So those are the types of interventions that we are going to take as young people between the two houses and also with the executive.
And so, you know, are you after, you know, the very successful, and I do believe it was a successful gathering, are you confident? Mm-hmm. Are you optimistic? And I think I ask you that question, it may seem simple, but there is the general consensus out there, and the Deputy President mentioned this, that young people are getting tired, they're getting despondent, they feel like they've done everything they can, and they feel a little bit hopeless. Where you sit, are you feeling a little hopeful?
I am, and I'll tell you why. I think a huge part of the despondency from young people is that our agenda continues to be undermined because we are not in those rooms.
Yeah.
And so firstly, we have, you know, started creating those kinds of rooms and platforms. And I mean, also the Deputy President in his utterances, I feel as though he continues to perpetuate that we are really being spoken to. When can he step aside from the podium and say, we want a young person to come and tell us what young people are feeling? They do understand our despondency and that we are not, you know, actively participating in the economy. But what leads to that is that there is a distance from the government, between the government and the voices of young people. So, you know, with this platform, I really am hopeful, Pamela. I'm a glass half full kind of person, and I have seen, you know, the commitment that we have seen. As I said, the budget that we have seen that was allocated to this event, how they flew down, you know, a lot of young people, because we believe that there must be demographic representation. We can't just have people who are closer to parliament to come and speak to the issues, because there is someone in the deep of Limpopo who has different challenges and who interfaces differently with the economy than somebody who is in the heart of Cape Town. So I could see from that commitment that, you know, from the House of House Chairs, that really they want to zoom into our issues in a way that says, you must now have the voice and the platform to speak about them, and we will create a condition that is palatable for such conversations to take place.
Well, we'll keep asking for you. If you're sitting in those portfolios and you are involved, we will make sure that we give you the platform to tell us your perspective. We follow a lot of those proceedings. So thank you so much for talking to us, and really wishing you all the best, and all your counterparts as well, young counterparts who are trying to shift the needle there in Parliament. Thank you very much, Malebo.
Thank you so much for having me, Pamela.
Thank you. Good night. That's Malebo Kube, who's an Action SA young MP and a member of the P20 Young Parliamentarians Steering Committee. They had a committee meeting, and this happened on Friday the 13th. And really, as you can hear, dealing with a lot of issues, but they're going to really try and immerse themselves in the workings of Parliament and getting their voices heard as well in various committees. And so we ourselves need to give them more time and hear from them, you know, where we are. And how, as from a perspective of young people, how they are affected about the issues that we constantly look at when we talk about things that are happening in those committees in Parliament.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
All right, I think I told you that I had an opportunity of hearing the Deputy President today. Obviously, he was leading the National Youth Day rally today, and he was speaking at Potchefstroom and had a lot to say to young people. One of the things that came out for me was just his urging young people to be part of the national dialogue that's upcoming. But I'll give you an opportunity to hear for yourselves what he had to say.
Kaya Talk.
How much more
on the street
information does anybody need?
On the air.
Program directors, today we honor and pay tribute to the valiant and fearless young people who stood at the forefront of the liberation struggle on June 16, 1976. Regardless of their youthful stature, the youth of 1976 stood strong in the face of the oppressive system of the apartheid regime. They faced death with unwavering determination, fueled by a vision of equal rights and a more just society. As President Nelson Mandela recounted in his address on June 16, 1996, he said the following: when freedom beckoned, you faced death and bullets and did not flinch. You responded to the call to build the underground and the mass democratic movement. You swelled the ranks of the People's Army and acquitted yourselves with distinctions on the battlefield, close quote. It has been 49 years since that significant day, yet we will always remember the student leaders like Tsietsi Mashinini and Hastings Ndlovu, who orchestrated the mass demonstration that transformed our nation. We must never forget those who joined the long list of martyrs and paid the ultimate price for our freedom. These are the young brave souls who fought for a dream that they never saw come to life, a dream that continue to inspire us and guide us today. By taking action in 1976 against and enforce Afrikaans language as the exclusive medium of instruction in African schools, those young learners were carrying out the path of struggle defined by their forefathers through the Freedom Charter. 10 days from now, we will commemorate the 70th anniversary of the Freedom Charter. The adoption of the Freedom Charter on June 26, 1955, and the Soweto Uprising on June 16, 1976 are significant milestones in South Africa's journey towards our freedom. Both occurring under unique circumstances, but inspired by the shared vision of a free and equal South Africa for all. The Freedom Charter continues to be a pillar of South Africa's constitution, influencing political and social climate of the country. It demands that the doors of learning and culture shall be open to all. This clause signified the Charter's commitment to equality and access to education for all South Africans. In this regard, this year's theme, Skills for a Changing World, Embracing Youth for Meaningful Economic Participation, is more relevant to the noble cause for which the generation of 1976 and those who came before them were prepared to lay down their lives. It embodies the essence of what we aim to achieve together, a future where our youth are not just empowered, but actively engaged in shaping a better tomorrow. Program directors, the reality is that many young people in South Africa are not living the future they hoped for. They are confronted by high levels of unemployment, inequality, and the lack of access to opportunities, especially in the digital world. As government, we acknowledge that for these young people, their reality remains unstable, undesirable, and unsustainable. According to Stats SA, young people between the ages of 15 and 34 make up just half of South Africa's working age population, about 20.9 million people in number. However, far too many of them can't find work, especially those between the ages of 15 and 24. Currently, South Africa's unemployment rate has gone up to 32.9%, and if we include people who gave up looking for work, the rate jumps up to 43.1%. The latest data from the Quarterly Labour Force Survey shows that more than half of young people aged between 18 and 34 are unemployed. This is one of the highest levels we have ever seen, and it is of great concern to all of us. What is also deeply worrying is the growing number of young people who are not in education, not in employment, and not in training. The current figure stands at about 3.8 million people. Among the 15 to 24 years old, which is about 37.1%, fall into this category, with young women being slightly more affected than young men. If we look at the wider age group of 15 to 34 years, the rate is even higher at 45.1%. Even our graduates are struggling, with nearly one in four graduates struggling to gain employment. This is more than just an economic issue. It is a moral emergency. It affects our whole society and demands urgent action from all sectors, government, business, and the community at large. We must fix the structural challenges in our economy to address inequality and skills mismatch between education and what the job market needs. In this regard, the government is collaborating with stakeholders like the Harambee Youth Employment Accelerator to combat youth economic exclusion by addressing the demand-supply mismatch in the South African labor market. Moreover, we need to encourage young people to look into starting their own businesses instead of waiting to be employed. In this day and age, entrepreneurship is one of the keys to building a better future. We've just heard from the two young people just now who were demonstrating how they've made it through their own initiative. We encourage more young people to do the same. Our National Development Plan, Vision 2030, highlights the importance of small businesses and entrepreneurship in creating jobs and growing the economy. We must encourage the youth to trust and believe in their ability to start and grow their own businesses. And we must give them the tools and support to do so. Through the Human Resource Development Council, we aim to reduce the scourge of poverty, inequality, and unemployment through creating platforms for social partners to deliberate on the country's skills and human capital development. The Council is also working on strengthening partnerships between TVET colleges and various stakeholders, including industry and employers, to ensure that training is aligned to the needs of the labor market. Program directors, we believe that providing young people with the skills they need to become entrepreneurs or employable is crucial to our society's success. Therefore, this year's theme, Skills for a Changing World, Empowering Youth for Meaningful Economic Participation, is both timely and relevant. It illuminates the urgent need to future-proof our young people with adaptable skills and the necessary capabilities to navigate the evolving labor market and contribute meaningfully to growth of our economy and industries in an era of rapid technological and social transformation. Our fourth Industrial Revolution report makes it clear that, and I quote, our success in the era of the fourth Industrial Revolution will depend on our ability to unleash the full scientific, industrial, and creative potential of South African society. In order to prosper in this new industrial era, we must not only revolutionize our learning, work, and living practices, but also embrace continuous innovation, adaptability, and unconventional thinking. Compatriots, as government, we offer various programs to support young entrepreneurs, including financial assistance, business development, and skills training. The National Youth Development Agency Grant Program and Youth Challenge Fund are key initiatives, along with the launch of a 20 billion rand annual transformation fund for the next 5 years, aiming to boost black-owned businesses and historically disadvantaged groups. Program directors, these funds will act as catalysts to attract other funds to enhance support for macro, small, medium enterprises. Additionally, government is promoting youth participation in the digital economy through initiatives like Digital Economy Master Plan and the National Digital and Future Skills Strategy. These initiatives inspire hope in our quest to create employment and entrepreneurship amongst our young people. However, I believe that young people require more than just hope and resilience to thrive. They need policy support and access to capital and markets for their goods and services. And above all, they need a coordinated ecosystem that recognizes that by working together, we can do more to create enabling environment for young people. As part of assisting young entrepreneurs with quick turnarounds on invoice payments, we have proposed a war room on clean governance. Part of the main priorities of the Clean Governance War Room will be prioritization of 10 to 15 day payment cycle and transformative procurement of small businesses. This is doable. I know in the past it would take maybe 30 days to pay businesses, but particularly small businesses, we need to pay them on time, otherwise they go under. So this is really a transformative process that we're engaging in that is going to help small, medium enterprises. We must speed up the execution of existing legislation and regulation to make a meaningful contribution to the lives of the youth. Program directors, while challenges remain, allow me to briefly reflect on some of the major victories that our democratic dispensation has registered in advancing youth empowerment since 1994. First, in 2017, our government restructured NSFAS, converting it from a predominantly loan-based scheme into a grant system to ensure that higher education does not become a debt sentence for young people. This support includes, amongst others, the NYDA Solomon Mahlangu Scholarship, which continues to advance the educational aspiration of youth from rural areas and township communities. We have also met and surpassed gender parity in higher education participation rates, with over 60% of graduates from our colleges and universities now being young women. As demand for education continues to grow, it is only natural that challenges around accommodation and administration of NSFAS have emerged. However, we are encouraged by the efforts of the Department of Higher Education and Training, which are currently underway to ensure that no deserving student is left behind. Thank you very much, Minister Nkabani, for those efforts. No deserving student will be left behind. Program Director, over the past 5 years, several mass youth employment programs have been implemented across the length and breadth of our country to respond to the challenge of youth unemployment. The Presidential Youth Employment Intervention was launched in 2020 to cultivate sustainable earning opportunities for young people from all walks of life. Just yesterday, the presidency released a progress report on this initiative. The latest quarterly report confirms that over 4.7 million young people are now registered on the National Pathway Management Network.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.